Okay, the very first Mishnah in Sanhedrin is going to be about the different numbers of Dayanim required in a Beis Din for different types of cases. So obviously the entire Mishnah Sanhedrin is about Sanhedrin. It's about the idea of Dayanim specifically functioning on a Beis Din. So Al Derech HaKdama, just want to explain a little bit about the difference between someone being a Rav and someone being a Dayan. The difference between someone passing cases of Issa V'Heter versus someone actually serving as a Dayan on a Beis Din to adjudicate the Nimamanis, the Nefashos, etc. So there is a machlokas shach and ramah in Yaredeya, why it is that that when we say in Masechta Avodah Zarah and Dav Zayin that if you go to one chacham and the chacham and you ask a shayla and the chacham says it's aser, that you're not allowed to go get a heter from another chacham. Once you already got the iser from one chacham, you can't go to another chacham and get a heter. So the shach writes that it's very pashut. It's midin shavya nafshi chatipa di sura, that if you go somewhere and you say I'm putting my trust in your psak and I'm going to accept that upon myself, right, wrong, or otherwise, so the Chacham says that it's Aser, so you have accepted that as an Iser. That's how the Shach understands that that didn't. Shavya Nafshe Chatich di Isura, that even though it's not Aser, you were Mekabel it as Aser. However, the Ramah writes that it's Midin Bizayon Chacham Arishon. It's Midin Bizayon of the first Chacham. You can go to the first Chacham, you can ask a Shaila, he's going to give you an answer, then you go to somebody else, you get a different answer, and you ignore what the first Chacham says. That's a big Bizayon for the first Chacham. The question is, why don't we say that it's simply because the Psak of the first Chacham is a Gemar Din? And you can't be chozer in a gemar din. Once a gemar din has been established, so that's it. You have a gemar din, and it's all over. So Rav Shachter explained that you see from here that you have there's a difference between hora'a in hilchos isra v'heter than a gemar din on a psak of beis din in dine mamnas. By isra v'heter, the psak din is not on the person himself. The psak din is on the halacha, that the chacham is not paskening your usher, this is usher for you. He's paskening that this type of thing is usher. It's a hora'a klali. It's a more general type of hora'a. As opposed to psak din in dine mamnas or in dine nefashos, it's a psak din on the people who are there in the Beis Din who are being judged. And that's directly on the person. And that's why we say that a person could go to a hora'a. For a hora'a, you can even go to a relative. There's a discussion in the Rash and Taros whether you can go to a relative for, let's say, a nida shayla. Can a woman go to her own husband for a nida shayla? Can he paskin on his own cases? So you want to say, of course not. It's a karov. How could he be done? But the point is that he's not being done. He's just saying what the halacha is, b'derech klali, that this mara is a mara tahar. It's not on the person himself. Whereas when you go to a Beis Din, when you go to Sanhedrin, the psak din is on the person himself. Rav Shachter used to like to say that that adds a little bit of tam to the famous story that they always say from Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz gave a psak din for somebody once, where it was two guys. It was a din Torah where two guys came to him and they were fighting over some small amount of money, and Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz paskened against Reuven in favor of Shimon for the small amount of money. And Reuven went crazy. What do you mean you're paskening against me? A chutzpah, how could you go against me? I am so right over here, etc., etc. And Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz said, I don't understand. Last week, you came to me with a shaila that had much more money involved, that the consequences were much greater for you. You lost a lot more money, and I paskin it was a case of treifus, of an animal that you had or something, and I paskin that it was treif, and you didn't say boo, not a word. So Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz says, Elamai, what's the pshat? When it comes to a case where it's you against somebody else in dine mamonos, so you just don't want to see the other guy win, you don't want to see, right, and you lose. But when it comes to Issa V'Heter, it's just about you and the Ribbono Shalom, that you're totally okay with, that you're willing to be very religious. Based on this, he could be matin that a little bit, that when it comes to Issa V'Heter, the psak's not about you. So you're not going to be insulted. It's not about you. It's about a general psak and Issa V'Heter. When it comes to dine mamonos, it comes to going in front of Dayanim and Sanhedrin. So then it becomes a psak about you. It becomes a psak about the person. And with this, we can also explain, there's machlokas Rashi Tosos we're going to see in about 5 weeks from now, on Daf Lamed Vav, regarding Minui Hager L'Srara, regarding appointing a ger to a position of Srara. Rashi writes that ger is possible to be dan dini nefashos, except to be dan ger chavero. But typically, a ger is possible to be dan dini nefashos, but he's kosher for dini mamonos. And Tosa says that a ger is possible even for Dine Mamonis. So based on what we said, we can understand Tosfos very easily, right? Tosfos works out great, because a minoy ager to be a dayan is only a problem if it's called a srara. What's the definition of srara? When the ger gets to determine something about you, when he has something over you, over the individual. When it comes to Issa v'heter, it's not any srara for the ger, that the ger is able to say, this is us or this is mutter. That wouldn't be a position of srara. But when it comes to din, whether it be din in mamunus, or whether it be din in nefashos, it's about the individuals who are in the beis din. And that would therefore be considered a srara, and that's the explanation of Shita Satosos, why it is that a ger is possible both for din in mamunus and for din in nefashos. The better question is, what about Shitas Rashi? Why does Rashi distinguish between din in mamunus and din in nefashos? There's a lot to talk about on that, but that's not really nogea to our daf. There's a Gilyan Hashas, but Hashem, we'll get back in 5 weeks. Truma Sakri, they're wonderful maramakomos to discuss that. But let's begin the Mishnah. Din in mamunus b'shlosha. In order to go adjudicate din in mamunus cases, you need three dayanim. Gezelos v'chavalos b'shlosha. In order to deal with cases of gzelos and chavalos, of stealing and injuring, you also need three dayanim. The obvious question the Gemara is going to deal with is, aren't gzelos v'chavalos simply a subcategory of dinim amnis? You already said dinim amnis b'shlosha, why do you need to go and then repeat gzelos v'chavalos are also b'shlosha, right? The Gemara is going to differentiate between gzelos v'chavalos and what we call hoda'os v'halva'os. Hoda'os v'halva'os is not mentioned in the Mishnah, right? Hoda'os v'halva'os, halva'os, let's take the easier one. Halva'os is, I borrow money from you, so I have to pay you back, right? That's not mentioned in the Mishnah. What if someone says that I borrow money from him, he wants to take me to a Beis Din, and therefore Beis Din's going to say whether I owe him the money or not. So isn't that also a dinim in this case? How could the Mishnah leave that out? Then it goes straight to gzelos v'chavalos, which is much more complicated. Say the Pasha case of dinim amnis first. So the Gemara is going to talk about the difference between hodos v'alvos and gzelos v'chavalos. But just to be magdir a little bit, Rav Salvechik, as Rav Shakta always said, the b'shem Rav Salvechik, that gzelos v'chavalos are defined as a milva ksuva b'torah, and hodos v'alvos are milva she'ena ksuva b'torah. What does it mean, milva ksuva b'torah, milva she'ena ksuva b'torah? Milva ksuva b'torah is, I know how much I have to pay because the Torah tells me how much I have to pay. Meaning the Torah tells me exactly what the rules are. Hodos v'alvos are milva she'ena ksuva b'torah. Milva she'ena ksuva b'torah means it's not the Torah that's mechayev me to pay the mamon, it's my own ischayvus midas that's mechayev me to pay the mamon. If I say that I'm going to borrow $100 from you, and therefore I'm being mechayev myself to pay you back $100, so it's my own ischayvus midas. I'm being mechayev myself to pay you back $100. It's not based on the rules in the Torah per se that are mechayev me the money. And there are many nafkaminas between a milva ksuva b'torah and milva she'ena ksuva b'torah. We just had a machlokas yesterday, 2 days ago. Shibuda d'oraisa or shibuda lav d'oraisa? Many Rishonim say, well, it depends. A milva ksuva b'torah, we'd say shibuda d'oraisa. A milva she'ena ksuva b'torah, where the whole chiyuv to pay doesn't come from the Torah, really comes from Eonis Chayvus Midas, then it wouldn't be shibud d'oraisa. The Torah wouldn't attach any shibud to a milva she'ena ksuva b'torah. It would only be a shibud, whatever shibud you would have, would only be midrabanan. Another possible nafkamina, the Gemara in Baba Kamba Metzia says that esnan zona asra Torah afilu ba'al imo, that esnan zona you're not allowed to use to bring a carbon from the money that a man uses to pay a zona is not allowed to be used to go bring a carbon, even if the money was used to pay the man's own mother, meaning the mother was a zona, the man slept with his mother and paid her for her services, that even that money asra Torah, right? That's what the Gemara Baba Kama Baba Metzia says. And the kasha that all the Rishonim ask is, isn't there a rule, kamle bidrabe minei, that whenever a person violates two isurim, a more severe isur and a less severe isur, you're only punished with the more severe isur, not with the less severe isur? When a man is ba'al imo, he's chayv misa. So why should the esnan teka have any value whatsoever? So the Mi'iri over there explains, Rashi says, one vart, not going to get into it now, but the Mi'iri over there says that we only say kamle bidrabe minei when the chiv mamon is b'toras onesh, when the chiv mamon is an onesh on the person. But if the chiv mamon is only a schayvus midas, it's something that you get yourself into, you are obligated to pay because you want to be obligated to pay, because you agreed to be obligated to pay it, then it's pashat that you chayv, even if you're already chayv misa. Even if you're chayv misa at the same time, it's going to be pashat that you chayv. L'mashal, someone borrows money from the bank on Shabbos while he's smoking a cigarette. Right? So what? He's putter from paying the money back from to the bank now because he borrowed money from the bank while he was smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. No, you're not going to say such a thing. He borrowed the money. That's his chayvus midas. The chayvus midas, he's absolutely chayv to pay. There's nothing to talk about. Of course, he's going to be chayv to pay in that situation. Okay, what are gzelos v'chavalos? So Rashi says gzelos are kofer b'pikadon. Someone asked me to watch something for him. He then comes back and says, "Can I have it back?" And I say, "Have what back?" I deny ever having it. And then Rashi says, "Kofer b'pikadon d'misha shalach bo yad." Have a gazlan. Rashi says, if I'm kofer and pikadon, and I go and I take it for myself and I use it, as soon as I use it for myself, I'm already a gazlan. The question the Achronim ask on Rashi is, l'chora, you don't need to do both to be a gazlan. You don't need to be kofer b'pikadon and be shaleach bo yad in order to be a gazlan. L'chora, if you do one or the other, you're a gazlan. If someone asks you to watch something, as a shomer chinam, shomer sachar, whatever, and you go and you use it, right then and there you're a gazlan. Even if you were never kofer. If someone asks you to watch something, you never used it, you put it in a safe place. But then when he asks for it back, you deny it. You're kofer b'pikadon. Even if you have not yet been shaleach boyad, you're a gazlan. Right? Isn't that already gzelos? What's Rashi talking about? That kofer b'pikadon dimisha shaleach boyad have a gazlan. So that's what the Aruch Luner is magia in Rashi. He says you have to change the girsa. It has to say kofer b'pikadon shaleach boyad. That Rashi must mean one or the other, because it's pashut that it can't be both. Okay, so that's the first line of the Mishnah. That dinim amnus and gzeilos v'chavos all require three dayanim. Nezek v'chati nezek, tashlume kefil v'tashlume arba v'chamisha b'shlosha, to adjudicate cases of damages, and chati nezek, which we discussed obviously at length already in Masechta Baba Kama, right? When a shartam gores, so you only chayiv chati nezek. Nezek is nezek shalim, which would be if a shar muad does damage, but chati nezek is when it's a shartam, it has not yet been proven to be a dangerous shar, or tashlume kefil, paying back kefil payments. And when you steal something, right, by Gnevish Nimtza Biyado, so there's a Torah requires to pay back Kefel. Tashlumi Arba V'chamisha, which is obviously if you steal a Shar Oseh and your Tavach O'machar, you shecht it or you sell it, so then you pay back 4 or 5 times the value. All those cases, B'shlosha. All those cases where the din is going to be, 3 dayanim are going to be needed on the Beis Din. Ha'ones v'amefata v'amotzi shemra, B'shlosha. A situation of rape, or a guy seduces a girl, or a motzi shemra, all those cases require 3 dayanim, divrei meir, according to a meir. The Chum say no. Motzi shemra be'esrim v'shlosha, mipnei sheyesh bo dinei nefashos. Motzi shemra, you're always going to need 23 dayanim, because there's always dinei nefashos involved in motzi shemra, meaning that not always, but there are sometimes dinei nefashos involved in motzi shemra. Because what's motzi shemra? A guy comes into Beis Din and says, lo matzasi l'bitcha besulim. He just got married. He thought he was marrying a nice Beis Yaakov girl. Everything was supposed to be wonderful. She was supposed to be tznua all her life, right? And then he comes into Beis Din the day after the wedding and he says, she wasn't a besula, right? So he's motzi shemra on her. Now, if it turns out that what he's saying can be verified, and he's telling the truth, and there are edim that come forth and say, yeah, we saw her being mezana tachtav after erusin or whatever, so then she's going to be chayiv misa, right? If it turns out that he's not telling the truth, and the father and mother come to court and they say, Eile besule biti, these are the besulim of my daughter, right? The pasuk makes it sound like they actually come with the sheet, the blood-stained sheet, and they say, these are the besulim of my daughter. Not so pasuk, that's what actually happens, but somehow they prove that that she was a besula, and that the guy doesn't know what he's talking about, so then it would only be a dine mamunis issue, right? Then the halacha would be that lo si li isha, that he has to stay married to her. He's not allowed to just throw her by the curb and divorce her. Plus, he has to pay a knas, right? So that would be mostly a monetary issue. But say the chachamim, since motzi shemra involves dinei nefashos sometimes, therefore every case of motzi shemra is going to require 23 dayanim. In the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tav Samach Gimel regarding the dinim of drisha v'chakira, I'm sorry, leave that out for now. Yeah, let's go weiter. Makos b'shlosha. Makos is also dinim makos, dinim where you would get malkos, also requires three dayanim. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel amru be'esrim b'shlosha. But Rabbi Shmuel says that you would need 23 dayanim for dinim malkos. Now, this is what I was referring to before. The Sefer Achinuch Mitzvah Tav Samach Gimel writes legabe the dinim of drisha v'chakira that the din of drisha v'chakira, this mitzvah, is only le'inyan dinim nefashos Umalkios uknasos, and it's noheges be'eretz. It's only noheg in Eretz Yisrael bizman shasanhedrin yoshvin b'makoman, when the Sanhedrin is in its place in Eretz Yisrael, k'moshakasa b'seder mishpatim, like it says in Parshas Mishpatim. And the Minchas Chinuch wonders, wait a second, dinim malkios and knasos have nothing to do with dayanim sitting in with the Beis Nagadol sitting in Eretz Yisrael with the Sanhedrin yoshvin b'makoman. Even after the Churban, we would still do dinim malkios, right? What do you need for dinim malkos? All you need is smicha. You need dayanim usmachim in order to be able to give malkos. That was the whole controversy 500 years ago, a little more than 500 years ago, when they wanted to reinstitute smicha, right? And the Mari Bei Rav and Maralbach, and they had the whole machlokas between the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim and the Rabbanim of Tzfas. Should they reinstitute smicha? What was the driving force behind wanting to reinstitute the smicha? It's because there were people who wanted to get malkos. They figured they were chayiv kares. I can get into the historical implications, but they figured they were chayiv kares. And they knew the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that chayiv krisus shalaku are pater from the krisus. That if you get malkus when you're chayiv krisus, so then you're not going to be chayiv the krisus anymore. So they were hoping to be able to get malkus, but the Beis Din wasn't empowered to give them malkus. So why weren't they empowered? Because they didn't have smicha. So they tried to reinstitute the smicha. Now they certainly didn't have the Sanhedrin being yoshev b'lishchas hagazis. There was no Beis Hamikdash 500 years ago, and the Sanhedrin was not being yoshev b'lishchas hagazis. They didn't have a Sanhedrin. And that wasn't even the thought. The thought was just to allow for dayanim usmachim. So that's what Minchas Chinuch wonders, what in the world is going on? Why the Sefer HaChinuch assumes that for dinim malkus you would need the Sanhedrin yoshev b'lishchas hagazis. But in our Mishnah it's just a machlokas how many dayanim you would need for chiv malkus. Ibar HaChodesh B'Shlosha, to be Ma'abar the Chodesh, to make a 30-day month instead of a 29-day month, or vice versa, you need three Dayanim on the Beis Din. Ibar HaShana B'Shlosha, Divrei Meir. Meir says for Ibar HaShana, to determine whether there should be an Adar Beis, Tafyomi coincidence, right? Today's Rosh Chodesh Adar. So Ibar HaShana, to determine whether there should be an Adar Beis, also B'Shlosha, Divrei Meir. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, B'Shlosha Maschilin, you start the Din B'Shlosha, when you have five dayanim, you can carry on the discussions about what to do. The gomer, but the gemara din of whether you add the other bays b'shiva should be with seven dayanim. Vim gomer begimel mubares. But if they're gomer with three, then it would still work. So many of these things we're not going to get into right now. A, because of time considerations, and B, because we'll see the Gemaras. Smichas zekenim, the halach of smichas zekenim, doing smichas zekenim, va'arifas egla, and doing the procedure of egla arufa, when you find a mace between two cities, and it's karov, they measure, and it's karov to one city, and they don't know how the mace got there, who killed him, right? So the city that's closest, that's where we learn the din, Mesech Tzva Basra, of karov, that we're holchanachar kurva, that just like rov is a birur, karov is also a type of birur. Question in the second paragraph of Basra was whether it's a rov, when you have a rov against a karov, right? Rov, a karov, that rov is adif. But the point is that arifas egla, to do that procedure, bishlosha, divrei Rabbi Shimon, you need three dayanim. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need five dayanim. What is smichas zekenim, though? What does that mean, smichas zekenim? So, if you look at Rashi, al rosh par helim davar shel tzibur, when they bring a helim, par helim davar shel tzibur, meaning that the Beis Din messed up a psak that most of the tzibur followed and therefore made a terrible mistake in terms of violating an avera, so they have to bring a special carbon called, instead of each individual bring their own carbon, they bring a special carbon called par helim davar shel tzibur, and you need the zakenim to go and do a smicha to lean on that on the rosh, on the head of that animal. So that's smicha zakenim. However, if if you look in Targum Yonasan ben Azil, Vayikra Perikdal, Pasuk Tezvav, it says that you need 12 Dayanim for the Parhel and Davar Shel Tzibur, to do the Smichas Parhel and Davar Shel Tzibur. So, L'chora, if you understand Smichas Akenim in our Mishnah, the way Rashi understands it, that it's about the Parhel and Davar Shel Tzibur, that Targum Yonasan ben Azil is against both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says you need 3, Rabbi Yehuda says you need 5. So where does that how does that shtim with the Mishnah? How does the Targum Yonasan at all shtim with the Mishnah? So if you look in the Perashah Mishnayos of the Rambam over here, he says Smicha Sekenim has nothing to do with Parhel Davar Shel Tzibur. Smicha Sekenim means appointing judges to be Dan Dine Knasos in Eretz Yisrael. It's what you would probably have assumed Smicha Zakenim is if you didn't look at Rashi in the first place. I mean, it's appointing people to be Zakenim, to be judges over Klal Yisrael. But anyway, it's probably not such a kasha. We just learned recently in Bab Basra, Daf Kuf Lam Dalet, Yonasan ben Azil was from the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken, and therefore it's Efsha that Shaykh about Yonasan ben Azil, that Tanahu Palik. Right, Yonasan ben Azil doesn't have to fit with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Right, he was also a Tana. He could argue on Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So lechor, it's not such a problem anyway. If you look in Margolios Yam, there's a fantastic sefer on Masechet Sanhedrin that, if you ever really want to learn Sanhedrin well, it's a must-have sefer from Rav Ruvin Margolios called Margolios Yam. He's a bucky in everything, nigla nistar, everything. It's he quotes from all over the place, from Zohar and from every Rishon Achron you ever could imagine. But it's a little blue sefer. So he has in Margolios Hayam that in the name of the Yerushalmi and Horios, Perek Aleph Halach Ches, that says, Mi Somech, Titani Shloshim Mikol Shevet Veshevet Rosh Bezdin Al Gabeim Somchim Yideim Al Rosh Hapar. So he holds, yes, it's 3, but it's 3 Mikol Shevet Veshevet, the Yerushalmi says. So maybe even when it says Smicha Zakenim B'Shlosh, it doesn't mean 3, you know, in total, it means 3 from each and every Shevet has to do the Smicha Zakenim. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara Vayter, Chalitza V'Hamiunin, to do Chalitza and Miun, Chalitza obviously is the procedure when there's not going to be a Yibum. So in order to be matir, the woman whose husband died, to marry somebody else, she needs to do the whole procedure with the shoe and the spitting, the chalitza. Vamiunin, miun is a reference to when a girl is a young girl whose father died, and her mother and brother, midrabanan, have the right to marry her off to somebody. So by the time she becomes a gedola, she's allowed to say, I'm not interested in this marriage anymore. That's miun. She says she doesn't want the marriage anymore. So those procedures can be done bishlosha. Why do you need shlosha for miun? So very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, you know why you need shlosha for miun? Because b'shlosha b'inan de kol de tikun rabbanon ke'enda oraisa tikun. Because anything that the rabbanon were misakin, they patterned all their dinim after dinim da oraisa. And just like the da oraisa parallel of miun would require 3 dayanim, so to miun requires 3 dayanim. The question, of course, begs itself, what is the Da'oraisa parallel of Miyun? What were they patterning Miyun after that requires 3 Dayanim? That you're going to say, oh, when the Rabbanon came up with the concept of Miyun, they said you should need 3 Dayanim. What were they what's the parallel on the Da'oraisa level? So there's a tshuva the Nadav Yehuda on Madura Tinyana Avin Ezra Simin Kufyu Dalid, where he says, ah, you see from here a raya that a get needs a Beis Din of Shlosha. That in order to give a get, you need 3 people to serve on a Beis Din. Right? Some of you were here a couple of years ago. My brother was a shliach laholacha of a get, and we got 3 people together to serve as the Beis Din in order to give the get. Now, none of the 3 b'mechila were b'kiyim in dinei gittin, but you just need 3 people to serve as a Beis Din. Now, the Rebbe says, where does that come from? See from Rashi that get needs shlosha. Maram Shif says that that you shouldn't say such a thing by gittin. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about gittin. If gittin really requires 3 dayanim, how come the Mishnah doesn't say anything? So Maram Shif says no, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about gittin because gittin is bifnei edim and you don't need beis din. So it's a major machlokas achronim. Does it say anywhere that a get needs a beis din? Now the Yehuda says, yeah, shteit in Rashi over here, that it's called tikkun rabban kenda reisa tikkun, and therefore you see that a get needs a beis din. Ram Shif says, no, it's the Mishnah, Dafka doesn't mention get amongst the things that you need a beis din of shlosha for. So you see that a get does not need beis din. Rashash says that what's the kenda reisa? The kenda reisa is chalitza. that the Miyan requires three, just like Chalitza would require three. That by Chalitza, someone was Ma'ein Liyavma. The Torah uses that Lashon of Miyun, that he refused to do Yibum. He didn't want to be Miyabim her. Ma'ein, right? That's the Lashon of the Torah. So when the Chazal came up with another type of Miyun, another type of refusal, where it's from the girl's side that she refuses to stay married to him, so they patterned it after the Dinim of Chalitza. That's what Rashi means. Not that they patterned it after a get. It has nothing to do with get. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Eben Ezra, Simon Kufman Dalid, by Sidur Aget, he quotes Rabbeinu Avadia the Mishnah, in the fourth parak of Bechoros, that he has a problem with those Rabbanim who are Masadri Get, who take more than Schar Batala. And the implication is that Sidur Haget has a status of a din. So if it has a status of a din, then lechora you would require three dayanim. Okay, whatever. So Rama says we're not knowing that way. Whatever it is, there's a big discussion, big literature in Hilchas Gittin on this point. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, Netaravai Maaser Sheni Shein Dam Vidun B'Shlosha. If you need to redeem Netaravai or Maaser Sheni, and you don't know the value of the Netaravai and the Maaser Sheni, so you need three dayanim in order to determine that. Hakdeshos B'Shlosha. Again, when it comes to Hagdish, determining the values of Hagdish, you also need three dayanim. Ha'erichin ha'metaltel b'shlosha, erichin of things that are metaltel, that are movable, which again is a problematic concept the Gemara is going to have to discuss, because erichin is a specific parsha in the Torah that ascribes values to certain people based on gender and age. When you say erich shel ploni alai, I'm going to give the erich of this person to the Beis Hamikdash, so it has nothing to do with the person's actual value. It has to do with an assigned value by the Torah. Metaltelin typically don't have an erech. The Torah never assigns any value to metaltelin. We'll get to it in the Gemara. But you need three dayanim for whatever that refers to. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Echad Mehen Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says one of the three should be a Kohen. Var karkaos tisha v'kohen. And when you're dealing with karka and evaluating the worth of karka, you need nine people and a Kohen. Va'adam kayotze behen. And when you're determining the value of a person, also you need, it's like karka, you need nine plus a Kohen. Dine nefashos be'esr v'shlosha. When you're dealing with dine nefashos, then you need 23 dayanim. Haroveya v'anirva be'esr v'shlosha. When you're talking about someone who's roveya behema, or is nirva from a behema, right, has slept with bestiality, you require 23 dayanim. Shenemar v'arakta se'isha v'esa behema. Pasuk says, you kill the woman and the behema. Va'omer v'esa behema ta'arogu. And the pasuk says, v'esa behema ta'arogu. So you need, and that's referring to the Nirva. So you see from both Roveya and Nirva that you need, it's Dinin Fashos, you need 23 Dayanim. Shara Niskal be'esum v'shlosha. Shnemar Shor Yisakel v'gamba alav yumas. Shara Niskal requires 23 Dayanim also. Pasuk says that the Shor gets skila v'gamba alav yumas, and also the owner is yumas. What does that mean? Does the owner get killed when my Shor goes and kills somebody? I'm going to get killed? No, there's no such din, but rather what the Torah is trying to tell us is kemisas bailim kach misas ashar, that the same way we would kill the person, the owner, if he were chayiv misa, we're going to follow that same procedure to kill the shar when the shar is chayiv misa, right? That just like the misas bailim would be b'chav gimel, so to the misas ashar is b'chav gimel. The whole idea of shar niskel, the Ramban ala Torah in Bereishis Perek Tes, Pasuk Hey writes that it's mitam gzeiros melech, right? That there's no, it doesn't fit into any logical category. Ki sakal yisakel ashar v'lo yachal b'saro, that it's not to be manish the owner of the shar, because if it were only an onesh for the owner of the shar, then it shouldn't matter how you kill the shar. It shouldn't be a requirement of skila. Just get rid of the shar and that's it. You're done. So it sounds like it's some. It doesn't really fit into any exact category. You can't say the shar is chayiv misa, that you're being dan a shar, meaning it doesn't. The shar is not a is not someone who can stand who can stand in front of a beis din typically to be judged for its actions. It's an animal. So it obviously relates to the owner in some way. But it's a gzeiras melech. Gzeiras melech says Ramban that's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu says that we kill the shar. We don't understand exactly how this can be categorized in any other known din that we have. Okay, hazeiva ri hadova namar bardolis va nachash misas only shar, it could be any of the other types of animals that are dangerous and that kill somebody. When you kill them, you need esr mishlosha. Rabbi Elazar omer kala kodem lahargan zachar. Rabbi Elazar says, no, you don't need 23 dayanim. Whoever kills it first is doing the right thing. You just get someone should just kill this dangerous animal. You don't need to go in front of a beis din. Rabbi Akiva omer misasim esr mishlosha. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you need 23 dayanim to deal with it and to be chayiv and based in. Okay, the Gemara will deal with the differences between Shittos number 1 and number 3. Says Gemara Vait, says Mishnah Vaiter, still in the Mishnah. Ain done in loas a shevet v'loas navi asheker. We're not going to be done a shevet, nor a navi sheker, v'loas kohen gadol, nor in the kohen gadol, LLP based in shalshuv v'echad, right? We're going in ascending order. We started with those cases that you need 3 dayanim for. Then we went to machlokas cases, 3 or 5, and then we went up to a Sanhedrin shel chaf gimel. Now we're going to the Sanhedrin agadol. When it comes to being done a shevet and navi sheker kohen gadol, you need the beis din shel shivim ve'echad. Good. If Rashi writes a navi sheker that misasa b'chenek. So Margoliyos Hayam quotes that what Rashi's trying to do is he's trying to be masbir why the Mishnah doesn't include altogether ein danin as hashevet v'sanavi hasheker. Right? Why does it have to say ein danin lo as hashevet v'lo as navi hasheker v'lo as kohen gadol? Right? What does it keep saying v'lo v'lo? Just say ein danin as hashevet v'sanavi hasheker v'es kohen gadol. So it sort of breaks it up into separate phrases to tell me that it's not all the same din. They would have separate dinim. It's just that they all require the Sanhedrin Agadol Shal Shem Be'echad. Ve'en motzi'in l'melchemes ha'rashus al-pi bezin Shal Shem Be'echad. You don't go out to a melchemes ha'rashus unless you have a beis din shel shivim ve'echad. They can't make that determination to go out to the Melchemes HaRashos unless they have the Sanhedrin involved in the decision-making process. Right? So says Rashi over here also that Melchemes HaRashos, kol melchama kari rashos, levad mi Melchemes Yehoshua, sheshel lichbo sheseretz Yisrael. Unbelievable chiddush, Rashi says. Every Melchama, except for the Melchamos of Yehoshua, to be kovei sheretz Yisrael, are all considered Melchemes HaRashos. What about the Melchama neged Shiva Amin, Melchamos, when other people attack us, all those types of Melchamos? Those are also considered Melchamos mitzvah. So that's a very difficult Rashi to understand what he means, that every single Melchama, except for Kibush Yehoshua, right, we assume that when someone attacks Eretz Yisrael and we defend ourselves, that's called the Melchamos mitzvah. That's not called the Melchamos HaRashos. So why does Rashi say every Melchamos is called the Melchamos HaRashos except for the Kibush HaAretz? Very difficult Rashi to understand. Okay. Ein mosifin ala ir v'ala azaros el pi bezin shel shivim ve'echad. We don't add on to the city or to the azaros of the Harabayis unless you have the Sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad. The Rashash assumes that ala azaros means we know the shetach of the Harabayis is 500 amos by 500 amos, right? And you're not allowed to be mosif on that shetach of the Harabayis. And the Rashash says that the reason you're not allowed to do that is because it's Ramos Bikra, there's a hint to it in the Pasuk, that it's 500 Amos by 500 Amos. So we don't talk about adding to the Harabayis, we're about adding on to the Azaros within the Harabayis. Okay. Enos and Sanhedroyos l'shvatim LLP Bezin Shalshim Ve'echad. The individual Sanhedroos that you make for each of the Shvatim is also only done with the Bezin Shalshim Ve'echad. Enos and Irani Dachas LLP Bezin Shalshim Ve'echad. You can't make a city into an Irani Dachas unless you have a Bezin Shalshim Ve'echad involved. Enos in Ein osin irani dachas besfar, and once we're talking about an irani dachas, we mentioned a couple of other halachos relating to an irani dachas. You don't make an irani dachas on a border town, right? If there's a town that's right on the border between us and our enemies, right? So you don't want that town to be destroyed. That's a very strategic area usually where we're going to be able to protect ourselves. So you don't want to turn that town into an irani dachas and destroy the whole town. It would be terrible. So we don't make an irani dachas besfar, even if most of the inhabitants did have avodah zarah. Doesn't matter. We're still not going to destroy it. V'lo shalosh, and you don't make 3 irani dachas. Avol osin achas oshayim, but you can make 1 or 2. Gemara will explain the gedarim of that. Sanhedrin gedola haisa shalshim ve'echad uktana shalasim v'shlosha. The big big Sanhedrin was had 71 judges. Sanhedrin Katana had 23 judges. I mean, nine the Gedola sheishal shim ve'echad. How do I know the Sanhedrin Gedola has 71 judges? Shenemar, because the pasuk says asfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want you to gather for me 70 men mizikne Yisrael from the zakenim of Klal Yisrael. Moshe al-Gabehen. That's 70 plus Moshe. So there you have a total of 71 Dayanim for the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shivim. That it's a total of 70. When he says Shivimish, he means 70 in total. So that's how we know that a Sanhedrin HaGadol has to be shall shivim ve'echad. The Tosfos Masechet Sota Dav Zayin and Beis Dibra Maskel Ma'ala Alan wonders why don't we mention Sota Zakin Mamre also amongst those things that you need shivim ve'echad? Right, it doesn't mention Sota and Zakin Mamre. Those also you need to go to the Har HaBayis and Sanhedrin, that's Yosef Belishkas Hagazis. So Tosfos says because we learn Sota and the Lemur of Sota. The Gemar Din of the Sota and the Zakin Mamre was not actually in the Bezin Shel Shivim Ve'echad. Even though they're part of the procedure, they're part of the process, the Gemar Din doesn't take place in the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'echad, meaning by Zakin Mamre, for instance. What's the role of the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'echad? He has to be Cholik on them in order to become a Zakin Mamre. But they're not the ones that ultimately judge him as a Zakin Mamre. The Gemar Din happens in the local Beis Din. It's just that he's someone who went against the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Are there any other cases that are left out that relate to the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'echad? So Margolios Yam says, Minoy HaMelech and Kohen Gadol is also only done based on the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'echad. You can't appoint a Melech or a Kohen Gadol without the participation of the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'echad, and doesn't mention that either. Now, the Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayos and Krisos at the beginning of Parak Aleph writes regarding Minoy HaMelech that if it turns out that there's a fight or a discussion between the Bnei David, a disagreement and others, and then Achar Kach Hiskimu Al Echad Mehem O Shenigru Achrav Harov O Minuhu Sanhedrin O Navi O Kohen Gadol. Right, the Rambam describes how does one become a king. There's a if there's amongst the Bnei David there's some disagreement as to who's really in line to become the king, and then finally they make a decision based on what? Either Nigru Achrav Harov, either democracy. Most of the people, right, normally we assume democracy is foreign to our system. Most of the people choose sides, and they choose one guy amongst the Bnei David. So he's right to be a king in terms of his yichus. Most people choose that side. That could make him a king. And the Rambam says, O Minuhu Sanhedrin, or he's appointed by the Sanhedrin. What do you see from the Rambam? That the Sanhedrin is not critical in order for Minoy HaMelech. So you can have a Minoy HaMelech without the Sanhedrin. So Margolis Yam points out that we left out Minoy HaMelech over here, but according to the Rambam, we didn't leave it out at all. Minoy HaMelech is not something that's necessary to have a Sanhedrin for. You can have Minoy HaMelech even without a Sanhedrin. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Uminayin L'Katana. There's much more discussion in the Achron about things that are left out, but okay. Minayin leKetana shishal asrim v'shlosha. How do we know that a Sanhedrin Ketana has 23 judges? Shenemar v'shaftu ha'eda v'yitzilu ha'eda. Eda shofet. The pasuk says that v'shaftu ha'eda v'yitzilu ha'eda. The Eda, meaning Sanhedrin, judges him, and the Eda will save him. Eda shofetes ve'eda matzelus. So we darshin that on every basin you need at least an Eda worth of people to judge, and an Eda worth of people to try to defend. Meaning, within the one Beis Din, within the one Sanhedrin, you need at least an Eda worth of people paskening Chayiv, and an Eda worth of people paskening Pater. Harei Kanesim. So right off the bat, you have a minimum of 20 judges you need to have, because you need the potential to have an Eda versus an Eda. An Eda is defined as 10. Well, minayin le'eda she'asara. How do I know an Eda means 10? Maybe an Eda means 2? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, an masai le'eda hara azos. Right? Who's the Eda Hara'a? Zos, the Meraglim. There were 12 Meraglim, but Eda Hara'a, two of them weren't Ra'a. Two of them weren't bad. Yatsu Yoshua v'Kalev, take out Yoshua and Kalev. How many Meraglim are left? 10. So you see that the term Eda always means 10. So that's how we see that a Sanhedrin has to have at least 20 judges. But we said it needs 23. So minayin lahavi od shlosha. How do I know you need another 3 judges? Mi mashma shenemer lo siya achri rabim l'ra'os shomeani she'eye imayim l'tova. From the fact that the pasuk says that losia achrei rabin l'ra'os don't necessarily follow a majority, l'ra'os, I would automatically know that I should go achrei rabim for tova, that when the rabim says something, you know, in favor of the guy, so we should follow the rabim. Im kein lama nemar achrei rabim lahatos, why does it have to then add achrei rabim lahatos? So it's coming to teach me lo katiyaska l'tova atiyaska l'ra'a. When it comes to determining a psak din for good, it has different rules than determining a psak din for bad. Hatiyaska l'tova al piyechad. When it comes to paskening in favor of the person, so you only need a majority of one. If you have a 12 to 11 vote, so that's good enough to paskin in his favor. Hatiyaska l'ra'a al pishnayim. But if you want to paskin against the person, you need a majority of two. Right, a 12 to 11 vote to say chayiv is not going to be good enough. You need a majority of two. Ve'ein bezdin shakul. We'll see. So right there, you would say, if I need at least 10 people to be saying pater and 10 people to be saying chayiv, but I need a majority of two to be mechayiv, so l'chara I would need 12 against 10. So I should need how many judges? 12 plus 10, 22 judges, right? So, but in bezdin shakul, we have another rule that a bezdin can't be an even number. It has to be an odd number. So if 22 is the minimum, but it can't be even, so what do? Throw on another dayan, and therefore you have 23 judges on the Sanhedrin. Now we said every city is supposed to get a Sanhedrin. How many people are supposed to be in the city in order for the city to be ra'ui to have a Sanhedrin in that city? Me'av esrim. Unbelievable. 120 people in the whole city, and 23 of them are dayanim, right? And to sit on the Sanhedrin of 23, you need smicha. So that's a pretty high percentage of musmachim. So 23 are dayanim of the city of 120. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Masayim Ushloshim Keneged Sari Asaros. Rabbi Nechemya says, come on, at least you need 230, because even when Moshe Rabbeinu, last week's Parshas Yisro, right? Yisro comes up with this idea of appointing different judges on lower levels than everyone coming straight to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So there were the smallest number was Sarias. The largest number of judges, the smallest number of people over whom he's judging, were Sari Asaros. At least have one judge connected each 10 people in the city. One connected each 4 or 5? That's ridiculous. So Sari Asaros said at least you would need 230 people in the city in order for 23 of them to be Dayanim on the Sanhedrin. Fine. Frek the Gemara. We finally got to the Gemara. 4 minutes left. We got to the Gemara. Atuk Zelos v'chavolos lavdin imaminos ninu. If you remember, 40 minutes ago, we said at the very beginning, the first line of the whole Masechta, Dinei Mamonos b'shlosha. You need three dayanim for Dinei Mamonos, and then we said, and also for Gzelos v'chavelos, you need three dayanim. Frak the Gemara. Are Gzelos v'chavelos not simply examples of Dinei Mamonos? Why would you put them as a separate phrase in the Mishnah that Gzelos v'chavelos also require three? Amrabi Avahu Mahin Katani. No, the Mishnah means to identify for us what are Dine Mamanus. Mahin Dine Mamanus. What are examples of Dine Mamanus? Gzelos v'chavalos. Gzelos v'chavalos are examples of Dine Mamanus that require three dayanim. Aval hoda'os v'halva'os lo. But the point would seem to be that hoda'os and halva'os, right, other types of Dine Mamanus that we would call hoda'os and halva'os would not require three dayanim. Now, Hodos v'alvaos, what are they? So says Rashi, Shnei and Aliske Milvehin, they both relate to a loan. Hodos shebaladun be'ede hoda'a. Hodos means you come to the Beis Din to be done with edim regarding someone admitting to something. Basically, shemevi edim sha'om b'faneinu hodalo, that your guy brings edim that says that these edim say that we saw Reuven admit to Shimon that he owes him money. They didn't see the loan, but they saw him admit that he owes him the money. Halvaos shebaladun be'ede halva'a, and halva'os are not about edim that saw someone admit to owing the money. They saw the actual loan itself, right? Those are halvaos. Rashi has a different daya. We don't have time for it right now. But hodaos v'halvaos, the implication is, does not need the same three dayanim that gzelos v'chavolos would need. Utsricha, and I need both phrases in the Mishnah, both the phrase dinim mamnas b'shlosha and the phrase gzelos v'chavolos b'shlosha. Why? Ditana dinim mamnas, had it only said dinim mamnas, have amina dafil hodaos v'halvaos, I would have thought even hodaos v'halvaos are included. So tana gzelos v'chavolos, that's why it says gzelos v'chavolos. Vitana gzelos v'chavolos, had it only said gzelos v'chavolos and v'lo katani dinim mamnas, and not had the phrase that dinim mamnas is b'shlosha, have amina hu adin dafilu hodaos v'halvaos, I would think that hodaos v'halvaos also require the same type of shlosha dayanim that gzelus v'chavalos require, v'haydik tani gzelus v'chavalos, and the only reason the Mishnah chose to give the example of gzelus v'chavalos rather than hodos v'chavalos, mishum de'ikur gimel d'ksivi b'gzelus v'chavalos ksivi, because the primary source for requiring 3 dayanim in the Torah is in cases of gzelus v'chavalos. Gzelus d'ksiv, by gzelus it says v'nikra balabayas ala Elohim, chavalos, and chavalos because mali chaval b'gufo, mali chaval b'mamono, chavalos because what difference does it make if you're chaval in a person's guf or you're chaval in a person's money? Either way, it should require the same amount of dinim, so the same amount of dayanim. So that's what I would have learned from the Torah. Maybe that's why I would have thought we mentioned gzelos for chavalos and not hodos for chavalos. Not because the din is any different, but because there's no source explicit in the Torah regarding hodos for chavalos. So tana mahin dinim amnes gzelos for chavalos, aval hodos for chavalos lo. So the bottom line is, the Mishnah goes out of its way to say that when we say dinim amnes requires 3 dayanim, we're Dafka talking about gzelus v'chavalos. Hodos v'alvos do not require the same types and numbers of dayanim as gzelus v'chavalos. So now the Gemara asks the very important question that probably was on your mind anyway. Ulamai, what do you need for hodos v'alvos? Don't you also need 3 dayanim? Meaning you're coming to adjudicate a case of a loan, right, where someone claims someone else owes the money. So in what way is it different than gzelus v'chavalos? In what way is the Beis Din going to look different? You want to tell me you don't need 3 dayanim for hodos v'alvos? Rabbi Avoh says, no, if you have 2 people being done any type of dinim mamnas, it's invalid. So you definitely need 3 dayanim for hodos v'alvos as well. Rather, we're going to say the difference between gzelus v'chavalos on the one hand versus hodos v'alvos on the other hand is that gzelus v'chavalos require 3 dayanim who are all mumchin, who are all expert dayanim. Hodos v'alvos may not require expert dayanim. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we're going to get into that discussion about what the difference, the precise difference is between gzelus v'chavalos and hodos v'alvos, and when we need mumchin, when we do not need mumchin. We'll pick up with that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.